إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. موضوع هذه المحاضرة أيها الإخوة هو كيف نحقق محبة الله عز وجل، أو كيف السبيل إلى نيل محبة الله. لو جئت لأفسق الفساق من المسلمين وقلت له هل تطمع وتطمح وترغب في أن تكون من أحباب الله، لأجابك بالتأكيد وكان حريصا على ذلك، لكنه ابتلي بالمعاصي والذنوب التي قطعت عليه السبيل إلى نيل محبة الله عز وجل. فلا يوجد مسلم آمن بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا ورسولا مهما بلغت ذنوبه يتبرأ من محبة الله عز وجل. ولكن لا تنال محبة الله عز وجل بالتحلي ولا بالتمني، وإنما لا بد لنيل محبة الله عز وجل من سلوك سبيل محبة الله. فإن الله عز وجل قد ربط النتائج بالأسباب، وجعل الله عز وجل لكل شيء سببا، والله عز وجل جعل لكل أمر ولكل غاية جعل لها سبيلا وجعل لها ثمنا. فمن أراد الجنة فلا بد أن يعمل لها، ولا بد أن يسعى لها، ولا بد أن يشمر عن ساعد الجد والجهد. قال الله تعالى والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا. فلذلك أيها الإخوة، نيل محبة الله عز وجل لا بد من العمل ولا بد من الجهد والاجتهاد. ومن أعظم أسباب نيل محبة الله عز وجل التي هي الطريق إلى ولاية الله، فأحباب الله هم أولياء الله، والله عز وجل يقول ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون. من أعظم أسباب نيل محبة الله اتباع الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم، اتباع الرسول، لأن الله عز وجل يقول قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. وقد جاءت هذه الآية اختبارا وامتحانا لكل من زعم حب الله. فقد جاء رهط إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالوا يا رسول الله إننا نحب ربنا. فأنزل الله عز وجل هذه الآية ابتلاء لهم ولأمثالهم. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. فإذا محبة الله لا تنال من غير اتباع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي هو حبيب الله وخليل الله. فمن رام الوصول إلى محبة الله من غير طريق الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم فلن يزدد من الله إلا بعدا، ولن يحظى بمحبة الله عز وجل، لأن الله عز وجل قد علق الفلاح والنجاح على اتباع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال الله تعالى: وإن تطيعوه تهتدوا. وحذر الذين يخالفون عن أمره، فليحذر الذين يخالفون عن أمره أن تصيبهم فتنة أو يصيبهم عذاب أليم. وذهب المفسرون إلى أن الفتنة زيغ أو شرك، فمن خالف عن أمر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فهو على شفا هلكة، وهو قد انحرف عن الجادة، ولن يكتب له النجاح والتوفيق في هذه الحياة، وستكون عاقبته والعياذ بالله وخيمة. لأن الله عز وجل يقول: ومن يشاقق الرسول، أي يعاند، ومن يشاقق الرسول من بعد ما تبين له الهدى، أي من بعد ما قامت عليه حجة الله كتابا وسنة، ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين، أي سبيل الصحابة وهم السلف الصالح، نوليه ما تولى، لا يبالي الله به في أي واد هلك، يكتب عليه الضلال في الدنيا وفي الآخرة، ونصله جهنم وساءت مصيرا. وطاعة رسول الله من طاعة الله، ومحبة رسول الله من محبة الله. من يطع الرسول فقد أطاع الله. فإذا رأيت رجلا يدعي حب الله ولا يتبع رسول الله فاعلم أنه ليس من الله في شيء، واعلم أنه لن يزدد من الله إلا بعدا، لأن الله عز وجل جعل مفتاح محبته لعبده أن يتابع نبيه وصفيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ظاهرا وباطنا في المنشط والمكره وفي كل أحواله، وأن يجعل هواه تبعا لما جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى. قالوا: ومن يأبى يا رسول الله؟ قال: من أطاعني دخل الجنة، ومن عصاني فقد أبى. فمن أبى اتباع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقد عاند الله وأبى محبة الله، فأبغضه الله وأبعده.
The Sheikh began by reading Khutbat al-Hajjah that everyone knows, insha'Allah ta'ala, and then he said today's subject matter that we're going to present to you today and we're going to talk about is: how does a person realize and obtain the love of Allah? Or what is the sabil or the role that a person takes in order to obtain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He went on to say, if you were to go to the most evil person from amongst the Muslims, the worst fasiq that you can find, and you were to say to this irreligious Muslim who's a fasiq, do you desire to be from those people who Allah loves? Every single person is going to answer you, irregardless of how evil he is, by saying without any hesitation, sure, of course, I would love to be from those people who Allah loves. The Sheikh said that this particular individual, he has been tried with the sins that have come between him and Allah Ta'ala, and they have prevented him from being a righteous person. But nonetheless, the point is, if you were to present to him this idea and this concept, this question, he will respond in the affirmative that of course he will love to be from those people who Allah loves. The Shaykh went on to say that there is not a Muslim on the face of the earth who is pleased to have Allah as his Lord and al-Islam as his religion and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his prophet and messenger, except that he's going to answer by the same or with the same answer that that individual answered with. He said, but we have to say that the issue is greater than just a mere presentation of a question. In order to get the love of Allah, it doesn't come as a result of a person just desiring or wanting with his lips or his tongue. No, instead, whenever we want to get results from our actions, the results are coupled with reasons. You have to do the appropriate and the necessary things and take the proper steps in order to get the results that are going to be comparable to those steps. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made everything and he has given a reason and connected it to everything. So for every single thing in this life, there is a way that you go about obtaining that particular thing. So if a person wants to go to paradise, then it necessitates that he does the deeds and the actions of the people of paradise. He should roll up his sleeves and prepare himself to work and do the necessary things to struggle in order to be of those who are successful. Allah Ta'ala showed in illustrating this concept in the Quran when he said, those people who struggle for our cause, we are going to guide them to our ways. Those people who struggle in our cause, we're going to show them and guide them to our ways. The Shaykh went on to say, so therefore, it becomes a necessity that a person who wants to go to Jannah, a person who wants to obtain the love of Allah, he has to work and he has to struggle. From the greatest sabils or the greatest ways in which a person, one of us, can obtain the love of Allah. And then he took a sidestep and he started to say, because everyone is or should be in a position where he's struggling to be from the awliya of Allah, from those who are religious. Those awliya of Allah, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned them in the Quran when he said, verily the awliya of Allah, they will have no fear, nor will they grieve. They are the people who have faith and they have taqwa. They are the people who have iman and they have taqwa. So he said, from the greatest ways that a person can obtain the love of Allah Ta'ala is by following the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, say unto them, Muhammad, if you truly love Allah, then follow me. Allah will forgive you for your sins. If you truly love Allah, say to them, if you truly love Allah, then follow me. Allah will forgive you for your sins. The Shaykh said that this particular ayat of the Quran has come as a test and a barometer and a measurement by which a person has to place himself to find out the reality of the claim that he's making when it relates to his statement that he loves Allah Ta'ala. The reason why the ayat was revealed is that there were a group of people from the companions who said, Ya Rasulullah, verily we love Allah. And then Allah Ta'ala revealed this ayat, Yarhamakullah. And he says, say unto them, if you truly love Allah, then follow me, and Allah will forgive you for your sins. The Shaykh went on to say, Ikhwan, then therefore, the love of Allah is not obtained except through the door of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is to precisely say, to follow him in what he has ordered us to do. Because he is the Messenger of Allah, and he is the Khalil, or the friend of Allah Ta'ala, and he is the best suited to be followed and to be obeyed. Whoever wants to go away other than that, and he wants to go through a door other than that door, then he should rest assured and he should have no doubt that he will never obtain the love of Allah Ta'ala by a sabil or a way other than the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And then if we look further into the Quran, we will see how Allah Ta'ala has connected success, and he used two words for success here, al-falah and najah. How he connected success and being saved. Allah connected those two words and concepts to following the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in many ayat of the Quran. Like the statement of Allah Ta'ala when he said to the people, if you obey the Messenger, you will be guided. And in another ayat he said in the Quran, so let them beware those people who go against what he ordered. Let them beware those people who go against the command of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let them beware of a tremendous fitna and a grievous penalty or punishment. The Shaykh said that the scholars of Islam, when they give the tafsir or the explanation of this ayat, and they talk about the word fitna, let them be aware who go against the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of a fitna or a grievous penalty. He said that the fitna here, as explained by the scholars, it means shirk or polytheism. Let them beware of being disbelievers. He went on to say, whoever goes against the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is on the brink of destruction, so let him beware. Let him know that he has made an hiraf and he went off the path. And let him know that there will be no tawfiq or no success for him whatsoever. And yet another ayat that clearly speaks to this point, we have the statement of Allah Ta'ala when he said, and whoever opposes the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the clear knowledge or the huda has come to him. And then he went on to elaborate what is the meaning of the huda. And he said that guidance here means the hujjah and knowledge. The one who opposes the Messenger after the explanation of the huda or the knowledge and the hujjah has come to him, and he follows a way other than the way of the believers. And then he stopped again and he expounded upon that. The way of other than the believers in this ayah, he said, was the ways of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah said, whoever does that, we will turn him to whatever he wants to be turned to. And he went on to explain, meaning whatever that man's desires were upon, that's what we're going to put him upon. And it also means that he will be upon balala, that he will go astray. And that's in the dunya. And then Allah Ta'ala said, and we will put him in the hellfire. And the Shaykh explained that that obviously will be in the akhirah. So therefore, ikhwan, when you obey the Messenger of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, you in essence obey Allah. And whenever you do what he ordered you to do and you stay away from what he prevented you from, you have obeyed Allah Ta'ala. The ayat of the Quran said, and whoever obeys the Messenger, verily he has obeyed Allah. The Shaykh went on to say, ikhwan, if you see any person who is claiming with his tongue that he loves the Messenger, he loves Allah, and even if he's saying this with the loudest voice that he can muster, if you see him saying this, but he's trying to follow someone other than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, know for a fact that that man is a liar and his claim is to be rejected. Allah Ta'ala has made the key of success and the key of loving Allah, following the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet told us in an authentic hadith, all of my ummah, everyone from my ummah will enter into the paradise except the one that refuses. The companions say, Ya Rasulullah, and who is the one that refuses? He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in answering that question, the one who obeys me will go to Jannah, and the one who disobeys me, he's the one who has refused.
فأهل السنة وعلماء السنة من أكثر الناس قربا من الله ومن أعظم الناس حبا لله، والله عز وجل يحبهم أكثر من غيرهم لأنهم أحظى الناس برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فهم الذين يتبعونه صلى الله عليه وسلم ظاهرا وباطنا، وهم الذين يتبعون سنته ويحيونها ويشتدون على المخالفين للسنة. وأهل البدعة من أبغض الخلق إلى الله، لأنهم تنكبوا سبيل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولم يتبعوا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، بل إن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يكون خصيمهم يوم القيامة، ويحرمون شربة هنيئة من حوضه صلى الله عليه وسلم. ففي الحديث أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: ليزادن أقوام عن حوضي من أمتي عن حوضي يوم القيامة كما تزاد الإبل الغريبة، كما تطرد الإبل الغريبة، فأقول: يا رب أمتي أمتي، فيقال: إنك لا تدري ما أحدث بعدك، فأقول: ألا سحقا سحقا. فأهل البدع في محل مقت الله وغضبه، ولا يمكن أن يكونوا من أحباب الله، لأنهم خالفوا عن أمر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشرعوا في الدين ما لم يأذن به الله، ونصبوا أنفسهم أربابا للناس، لأنهم أخذوا يحللون ويحرمون ويتطاولون على شرع الله، وجعلوا من أنفسهم مشرعين مع الله.
After that, our respected and honored Shaykh Abu Anas sallamahu Allah min kulli su, he said that the people of the Sunnah and the ulama, or the scholars of the Sunnah, they are the majority of the people who are close in proximity, and they are the majority of the people as it relates to Allah Ta'ala's love. And that is because of what they do. We find them the closest people to loving Allah, and we find them being the people who Allah Ta'ala loves the most as it relates to the creation. The reason for that is because they follow the Sunnah, those ulama and those people of the Sunnah, Ahl Sunnah. They are the ones who bring life to the Sunnah, and they defend the Sunnah, and they give dawah to the Sunnah, and they spread the Sunnah far and wide, and they make the people aware of their responsibilities as it relates to the Sunnah. Where in contrast, and on the other hand, the people of deviant, Ahlul Bidah, you will find those people furthest away from loving Allah and furthest away from being loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because obviously they do not follow the Sunnah. In addition to that, they don't know what the Sunnah is, and they mix up the affairs of the reality of the Sunnah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yawm al-qiyamah, is going to be an opponent against them and not an arguer for them. We look at this hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us when he prophesied, and he said, there will come a group of people from my ummah yawm al-qiyamah, and they're going to come to my fountain or my hold, and they're going to want to drink from this place, this fountain, but they will be pushed away just as the strange camel is pushed away when she tries to drink with the other camels. If she's not from their group, they won't allow her in. So yawm al-qiyamah, my community will come to drink from this particular place. There are going to be a group of people who will be pushed away and prevented from drinking, just as a strange camel will be prevented from drinking. I'm going to say, oh my Lord, my community, my ummah, and he'll say that three times. And then it will be said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily you don't know what those people invented after you. After hearing that, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, suhqan suhqan, which means get them far, far, far away. Disconnect them from me. The Shaykh went on to say that these people, the people of deviance, they are in a dangerous position. They're in the position of being the recipient of the anger of Allah and the hatred of Allah because of the tremendous crime that they committed. They are people who legislated in the religion of Allah that which Allah did not send an authority for them to do so. They have made themselves Lord in competition with Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and as a result of that, they will be of those people who will not be successful.
ومن أسباب نيل محبة الله عز وجل التواضع للمؤمنين خفض الجناح للمؤمنين وإظهار العزة على الكافرين والجهاد في سبيل الله بالسنان والبيان. قال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا من يرتد منكم عن دينه فسوف يأتي الله بقوم. ما هي أوصافهم؟ فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبهم ويحبونه أذلة على المؤمنين أعزة على الكافرين يجاهدون في سبيل الله ولا يخافون لومة لائم. فمن صفات أحباب الله أنهم يتواضعون لإخوانهم ويخفضون جناحهم للمؤمنين ولا يريدون في الأرض علوا ولا فسادا ولا يتكبرون على خلق الله وعلى عباد الله، لأن الكبر عياذا بالله منازع لله في أخص صفاته. قال الله تعالى في الحديث القدسي العظمة إزاري والكبرياء ردائي ومن نازعني فيهما عذبته. ولذلك المتكبر يبغضه الله ويمقته الله، وكان الكبر الذي ابتلي به إبليس عليه لعائن الله كان سببا في طرده من رحمة الله وطرده من جنة الله، لأنه أبى واستكبر وأبى أن ينصاع لأمر الله. ولذلك يحشر الله عز وجل المتكبرين يوم القيامة على أمثال الذر في صور الرجال يطأهم الناس بأقدامهم. فالكبر حجاب يحول بين المرء وبين محبة الله، فهو أي المتكبر في محل سخط الله عز وجل، والله عز وجل يحرمه من كل خير. قال الله تعالى سأصرف عن آياتي الذين يتكبرون في الأرض بغير الحق. قال ابن عباس وغيره أي أصرف عنهم فهم القرآن، ولا يوهبون العلم النافع، لأن العلم لا يعطى للمتكبر، فالمتكبر والمستحي لا يوفق للعلم النافع والعمل الصالح. ولذلك قال أحد الفضلاء العلم حرب للفتى المتعالي كالسيل حرب للمكان العالي. ومن أوصاف أهل العلم التواضع، ومن تواضع لله رفعه الله. أنت حينما تتواضع لإخوانك إنما تتواضع لله عز وجل، وبتواضعك تخفض الملائكة أجنحتها لك، لأنك في طلبك للعلم تتواضع لخلق الله، تتواضع للمعلمين في الأخذ عنهم، تتواضع في المتعلمين في إعطائهم وعدم الاستكبار عليهم. ويقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. قالوا يا رسول الله الرجل يحب أن يكون نعله حسنا وثوبه حسنا، فهل هذا من الكبر؟ قال لا، الكبر بطر الحق وغمط الناس. بطر الحق أي دفعه ورده وعدم الانصياع له، وغمط الناس أي احتقارهم وازدراؤهم، وهذه من أوصاف المتكبرين عياذا بالله. ثم الصفة الثانية أعز على الكافرين،
فأحباب الله يتواضعون لعباد الله ويتكبرون على أعداء الله ويظهرون عزة الإسلام، لأن الله عز وجل أعز المسلمين بإسلامهم، فهم أعزاء بما عندهم من إسلام وإيمان، فلا يضعون الدنية في دينهم ولا يذلون إلا لله عز وجل. فرأى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أبا دجانة يتبختر بين الصفين في مشيته، فقال: هذه مشية يبغضها الله ورسوله إلا في مثل هذا الموطن، لأن فيها إغاظة لأعداء الله عز وجل. ونبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام أمرنا إذا رأينا، إذا مر بنا اليهود والنصارى وأهل الكتاب، ألا نبدأهم بالسلام وألا نفسح لهم في الطريق وأن نضطرهم إلى أضيق الطرق، فنظهر لهم عزة الإسلام. للأسف أكثر المسلمين اليوم إلا من رحم الله أشداء على إخوانهم، ولكنهم رحماء وفي غاية التواضع وفي غاية المسكنة أمام أعدائهم، مع أن هذا الوصف بعيد عن أهل الإيمان، فقد وصف الله أصحاب نبيه فقال: محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم.
Our Sheikh Abu Anas Ahsanallahu Ilayhi, he said, Ikhwan, that the second point or the second sabil, if a person wants to obtain the love of Allah, the second thing that he can do is, or one of the second way that it can be obtained is through having humility or at-tawadhu, having humility towards those people who believe, and lowering the wing of humility to them and dealing with them, and presenting yourself with izzah as it relates to the kuffar. So the second point is lowering the wing of humility and having humility toward those who believe, and presenting yourself in your condition with the izzah in front of the kuffar and making jihad in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh went on to say he extracted this understanding from the Quran itself, in which Allah ta'ala said, O you who believe, whoever from amongst you apostates and he turns away from the religion of Allah, verily Allah is going to bring a group of people who he loves them and they love him. They will be easy, soft, humble towards the believers, and they will be rough and tough against the kuffar. They will make jihad in the cause of Allah, and they will not be afraid of being censored or criticized by anyone. So this ayat that the Shaykh is using is an ayat that proves what? If you want to obtain the love of Allah Ta'ala, then you have to inculcate in your repertoire of actions having humility towards the believers, and lowering the wing of humility over them, and presenting yourself with power and izzah towards the kuffar, and making jihad in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He went on to say, so you look at this ayah, and we see that Allah ta'ala mentioned and given a description of them, that they are people who are humble towards the believers. They lower the wings of submission and humility over the believers. Allah Ta'ala described that they are not people who are tried with arrogance or kibr. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, they do not want to have aluwin in the earth. They don't want to be people who are high in the earth, nor do they want to make fasad or evil in the earth. This kibr or arrogance is something that is in contradiction to the religion, and it is in competition with what is from the khasa'is of Allah Ta'ala. And the khasa'is of Allah are those things that are peculiar and exclusively to Allah Ta'ala. Arrogance is something that is only for Allah. Allah Ta'ala's Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith al-Qudsi, that Allah Ta'ala said, that greatness, al-azama, greatness is His izar. That greatness is the izar of Allah. And al-kibriya is the rida of Allah. He said, whoever contends with me in either one of these two things, I will punish him and throw him in the hellfire. The Sheikh went on to say, so you see clearly that the person who was arrogant, he's going to be punished by Allah Ta'ala with a grievous punishment. And look at the enemy of Allah, Iblis, may the curse of Allah forever be upon him. He was thrown out of the paradise, and he was thrown out of the rahmah of Allah as a result of his arrogance and a result of competing and contending with Allah in this khafifa, and that is in his being mutakabbir. Why? Because he aba wastakbara. He refused and he became haughty. He was arrogant. The Sheikh went on to say, Ikhwan, look at this issue here as it relates to al-kibr and the mutakabbirun. And this kibr is diametrically opposed to what we're talking about as the second point that will allow you to obtain the love of Allah. He said, look at the danger of the kibr. From the punishment that the people who are the possessors of kibr will receive yawm al-qiyamah is that they will be made to be like seeds, yawm al-qiyamah. Seeds that will be stomped on by the people. That will be their reward. That Allah Ta'ala will reduce them to the state of being like seeds, and the people are going to stomp on them with their shoes. So they're going to be trampled upon. Kibr or arrogance is a hijab or a partition that comes between the servant and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And it will prevent him from all that is good. If a person is arrogant, he has to realize that he runs the risk of being of the people who will be prevented from landing or obtaining that which is good. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said in the Quran, verily we're going to divert those people who have kibr from the ayat of Allah, and they are haughty in the earth without the haqq. They don't have just cause to be haughty. He said that Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said the meaning of this diversion that Allah is talking about in this ayah is that Allah won't allow them to understand the Quran. The Shaykh went on to say, Ikhwan, that the person who has this kibr, he won't get any knowledge as well. And that's why it was said a long time ago, and it was understood by the people when they searched for knowledge, that knowledge as it relates to the young person or the student who's going after it, the student who has kibr, knowledge is a war. He's at war and he has an internal struggle as a result of being a possessor of kibr. He's going to be prevented from understanding. He's going to be diverted. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam further went on to tell us from the virtues and the merits of being of the people who are humble. He said, whoever humbles himself for Allah's sake, Allah will raise him in stature and in degree. The Shaykh went on to say, Ikhwan, if a person, one of you, was to be humble towards his brother in dealing with his brothers in his everyday relationship, he has to know that Allah Ta'ala is going to raise him in stature and in honor. And he does this in many ways. One of the ways that he does it is when a person subjects himself to go out to get knowledge, he humbles himself. As a result of that, Allah Ta'ala raises him how? By sending down the malaika, and the malaika put their wings out in submission and in humiliation or in a humble attempt to show the person this is from the tawfiq of Allah Ta'ala. So we are to have this humility as it relates to the common Muslim. We're to have this humility as it relates to your brothers. We're to have this humility as it relates to the one who teaches you, The one who's in the position of educating you, humble yourself to that particular individual. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam said in an authentic hadith, he will not enter into the paradise the person who has an atom's weight of kibr. One mustard seed the size of an atom, he has that in his heart, he won't enter into paradise. The companion said, Ya Rasulullah, but verily, a man from amongst us, he likes to have a nice robe, and he likes to have nice shoes. As if to say, is this arrogance? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily Allah is Jameel, and Allah loves Jamal. He loves beauty. He went on to tell him, kibr, arrogance is rejecting the truth and looking down upon people. The Shaykh went on to explain, rejecting the truth, when someone brings you the truth, you refuse to take it for whatever reason. And looking down upon people means that you see yourself better off than this particular individual. So that's the first part of this particular issue. If you want to obtain the love of Allah, you do so by having this humility and knowing your wound to the believer. And then the second part of that is by doing what? Presenting yourself with izzah over those people who disbelieve in Allah Ta'ala and they're not on the religion of Al-Islam. The Shaykh said, we have humility on the Muslim and we have this kibr and we have this izzah and we have this power over those people who disbelieve. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala has honored the Muslims over those people and he has honored the Muslim over all of his enemies who are in other religions and other ways. Allah Ta'ala does not accept, nor has he legislated in this religion, that the Muslims allow themselves to become lowly as a result of the kuffar in dealing with them. Look at what happened with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to show you the proof of what I'm saying. The companion Abu Dujana, or Abu Dujana radiallahu anhu, he was on top of his horse when the Muslims were about to engage the kuffar in the war. And they were preparing themselves for the battle. Abu Dujana, or Abu Dujana radiallahu anhu, while he was on his horse, he was prancing around with his horse, running or prancing in a way that suggested it was a prance of arrogance, the way they do with their horses. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam observed that and he witnessed that, he said, verily this prancing of this horse, this walk of Abu Dujana and his horse, it is a walk that is hated by Allah and his Messenger, except in this particular place. The Shaykh went on to say, why? What's this place? This place is the battlefield in which the Muslim has to show izzah and power over the kuffar. So he went on to say, Ikhwan, look at what the Prophet did, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was a humble person, a soft person, and he was intelligent and given dawah. But look at what he did. He ordered us, if a Jew or a Christian passed us by, to never start off by giving them the salams and honoring them. In addition to that, if they pass us by, we are to force them to go to the smallest part of the street, to the part of the roadway that is lonely, that is difficult. Put a roadblock in their way. He went on to say, I'm sorry to say, from what we observe today with our own eyes, is that the majority of the Muslims today, they understand the issue the opposite way. They are rough, tough, and coarse as it relates to dealing with their brothers, and they are meek, humble, and soft as it relates to dealing with the kuffar. And this is not the characteristic, nor is it from the superlatives that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in this Quran that is in question, in this ayat that is in question, nor in the ayat that I'm about to mention, which describes the Prophet and his companions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiallahu anhu, when Allah Ta'ala, he said in the Quran, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those who are with him are rough and tough and coarse against the kuffar, and they are merciful between themselves.
ومن صفات أحباب الله كما قال الله عز وجل يجاهدون في سبيل الله ولا يخافون لومة لائم. فهذا الشطر من الآية بين الله عز وجل في نوعين من الجهاد. النوع الأول جهاد الأعداء بالسيف والسنان، والنوع الثاني جهاد الخصوم، خصوم الإسلام بالبيان، بالكلمة والبيان. وجهاد الكلمة والبيان لا يقل شأنا عن جهاد السيف والسنان. فالله عز وجل يقول: وجاهدهم به جهادا كبيرا، وهي آية مكية، وكان الجهاد في الفترة المكية هو جهاد الكلمة والصدع بالحق. أما جهاد أعداء الله وحفظ الثغور والذب عن ديار الإسلام فهذا يكاد أن يكون معطلا في هذا الزمان إلا ما رحم الله، مع أن جهاد أعداء الله هو ذروة سنام الإسلام. والجهاد جهادان: جهاد طلب وجهاد دفاع، المسلمين وأعراض المسلمات وحرمات الإسلام وأرض المسلمين. ولعل جهاد الدفاع يكون فرض عين منذ أن سقطت الأندلس وإلى يومنا هذا، لأن المسلمين مستضعفين وقد احتلت بلادهم وانتهكت حرماتهم واعتدي على أعراضهم واغتصبت مقدساتهم، فلا بد من إحياء فريضة الجهاد المعطلة حسب الأصول والضوابط الشرعية التي بينها العلماء في كتبهم الذين صنفوا في الجهاد والاستشهاد ونحو ذلك. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم مبينا أن الجهاد من أسباب نيل محبة الله، وأنه سبيل إلى نيل محبة الله عز وجل، قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: لأعطين الراية غدا رجلا يحب الله ورسوله ويحبه الله ورسوله يفتح الله على يديه. فبين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن من صفات هذا القائد الذي يفتح الله على يديه أنه يحب الله ورسوله ويحبه الله ورسوله، فهو مجاهد بحق، لا يجاهد من أجل دنيا يصيبها، ولا من أجل امرأة ينكحها، ولا من أجل السمعة والشهرة، وإنما يجاهد لإعلاء كلمة الله، لنيل مرضات الله عز وجل. لذلك استحق حب الله واستحق أن يفتح الله على يديه. قال الراوي: فبات الناس، أي الصحابة، يدوكون ليلتهم، يعني يخوضون من هذا القائد الذي اتصف بهذه الصفات العظيمة، ترى من يكون وما هي وبماذا استحق هذا الوصف، يحبه الله، يحب الله ورسوله، يحبه الله ورسوله، يفتح الله على يديه. ظل الصحابة يخوضون في شأن هذا القائد وفي شأن هذا المجاهد وفي شأن هذا الفاتح. قال: فلما أصبحوا خرج عليهم الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال: أين علي بن أبي طالب؟ فعلم الصحابة أن صاحب هذه الأوصاف الذي حظي بهذا الشرف العظيم هو علي بن أبي طالب، ابن عم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وزوج ابنته. أين علي بن أبي طالب؟ قالوا: يا رسول الله، هو يشتكي عينيه. قال: ادعوه. فذهب فجاءوا به يتهادى بين الرجلين، فتفل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في عينيه،
أو نفث في عينيه فكأنما لم يشك بأسا قط، ثم أعطاه الراية وقال انفذ على رسلك على رسلك، وأمره أن يمضي إلى الوجهة التي وجهه إليها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وكان له الفتح، وكان قد فتح الله على يديه خيبر. فإذا الجهاد في سبيل الله جهاد السيف والسنان وجهاد الكلمة والبنان مما تنال بهما محبة الله عز وجل، لأن بهما رفع راية الإسلام، ولأن بهما رفع كلمة الله، ولأن بهما تطفأ الفتن كي لا تكون فتنة ويكون الدين لله.
ما في اختفاء أخي، سلمكم الله. We humbly request from the brothers not to interrupt during the talk, inshallah. If someone has a idea, suggestion, inshallah, raise it to the other brothers who are organizing the talk. Barakallah fikum. The Sheikh went on to explain, ikhwan, in talking about the last aspect of the ayah that he was upon. If you recall, it said, those people who make jihad in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are not concerned about the censorship of those who complain. He says, so from the characteristics of those people who will be loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the people who make jihad fi sabilillah, and they are not afraid of the complaints and the criticism and the censorship of the people. He said this part of the ayah, this aspect of the ayah, it explains to us that there are two types of jihad that we need to understand. The two types of jihad. The first type of jihad is the jihad in which the Muslims make, in which they use the iron, they use the sword, and they use the other weapons that are well known. And the second type of jihad is the jihad of defending al-Islam by explaining with your tongue what al-Islam is, and by giving the bayan of what al-Islam is. So there are two types of jihad that the ayat is talking about. Those people who become loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the ones who make jihad. And there are two types of jihad. The jihad of the ayat, whether it is the safe or whatever. And the second type of jihad is making the jihad or the defense of al-Islam by explaining and clarifying what al-Islam is. And we want you to understand that this second type of jihad, it does not in any way mean that it is lesser in importance than the first type. The jihad of explaining what Islam is not less in importance than the first type of jihad of fighting and killing people with the sword. He said, why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, make jihad against them with it. Make jihad against them with it, and make the major jihad, make the big jihad. The Shaykh went on to say that this ayat was revealed, and it is an ayat that is a Meccan ayat. And the Meccan ayat are those ayats that were revealed before the Hijra. This is a Meccan ayat. And everyone knows that while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Mecca, they did not engage the kuffar or the enemies in any type of physical jihad. The first jihad of the sword and using the iron. But instead, it was a jihad of saying the kalimatul haq and giving the bayan and the explanation of the reality of the dictates and the teachings of al-Islam. The Shaykh went on to say, as for the jihad in which we use the sword and we use the iron, in reality, I'm sorry to say that this particular form of jihad is mu'attal. He used that word mu'attal, which means that it's not even present today, except
in the cases where Allah Ta'ala has allowed people, He had mercy on people in a particular area and it's there. But for the most part, this type of jihad is not even present today. The Shaykh, he went on to say, Ikhwan, and this is a sad case because the Prophet described the jihad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as being the zurrat al-sanam of al-Islam, or the hump in al-Islam, the uppermost part of the religion. So those are the two types of jihad that this ayat is talking about. As for the two categories of al-jihad, the two categories of jihad, there are two categories of jihad, he went on to say. The first category is what he termed jihad al-talab, the jihad of seeking, in which the Muslims going out, they go out in order to expand their lands, in order to put down their program. That's called the jihad al-talab. The Muslims go out and they are the aggressors. They are proactive. The second category of jihad is the jihad al-difa, the jihad of defending oneself, the jihad in which the Muslims defend themselves from the impending attack from their enemies from without. He said that this jihad, jihad al-difa, is fardu ain. It is an absolute obligation on every single individual who has the ability to hold a weapon, that he makes it his business, when this is the condition of the Muslims, to protect the honor of the Muslim women, and to protect the land and the money of the Muslims, and to protect the blood of the Muslims. This is the jihad al-difa, the jihad of repelling the kuffar or the enemy. The Shaykh said, in this particular jihad, it is a jihad that has been operable. It has been in operation since the fall of Spain. Since the Kufar took away Spain up until this very day, because the lands of the Muslims have become occupied. And in addition to that, the Arab, or the honor of the Muslim men and the Muslim women, has been raped. And the rights and the treasures and the monies of the Muslims have been usurped. And in addition to that, the Muqaddasat of the Muslims, those holy places that the Muslims hold dear to their heart in their religion, they have been stolen from under them. The Shaykh went on to say, Ikhwan, it is an absolute obligation and necessity that the Muslims bring back and breathe life into this particular institution of al-Islam. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, Ikhwan, in further illustrating this point that I'm trying to make, which is what? That fighting in the cause of jihad will obtain the love of Allah. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, explained this to us in further detail in an incident that took place. When he said in this authentic hadith to his companions, when they were sitting with him, he said, tomorrow I'm going to give the flag to someone, to a man who loves Allah and His Messenger. And Allah loves him and His Messenger loves him. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ikhwan, he described the commander of that army as being a person who loved Allah and His Messenger. And in return, he was loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. So what was the reason that caused him to obtain the love of Allah and opposite? The fact that he was making the jihad on the haq. He didn't make the jihad for the dunya or for some woman that he wanted to marry. He didn't make the jihad so that the fingers can be pointed at him and it could be said about him that he was a person who was brave and he was a person who did this and he did that. No, instead, he made the jihad with ikhlas, with sincerity to Allah Ta'ala, and as a result of that, he had the istihqaq, or he deserved to be loved by Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Shaykh went on to elaborate, and he said, the narrator of this hadith who said that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tomorrow I'm going to give the flag to a commander who loves Allah, and he loves His Messenger, and Allah loves him, and His Messenger loves him, he said, after hearing that,
the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got up and he left, and we all got up and we left, and we went to sleep. He said everyone spent that night saying to himself, who is this person? Who's going to get this flag tomorrow? Hoping that he would be that person. They were saying to themselves, according to this narrator, we were wondering what was it that this person had did. But clearly when we look at the ayah or the hadith, we see that he made the proper jihad. And therefore, he was described as a person who loved Allah and he loved his messenger, and Allah loved him, and the messenger loved him back. And that Allah Ta'ala was going to open on his hand one of the most important and strategic wars of Al-Islam up until that point. The Shaykh said that the narrator of the hadith, he said, so when we woke up in the morning and we gathered ourselves, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam appeared to us. And then he said to the people, where is Ali ibn Abi Talib? So someone, upon hearing that, the companions knew Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu was the one that the Messenger of Allah was referring to yesterday. Upon hearing that question, the companion said, Ali ibn Abi Talib, who the Shaykh said was the son of the Prophet's uncle or his cousin, and he was the husband of his daughter or his son-in-law. When the people were asked, where is he at? Some people said, he's complaining from something that is bothering him in his eyes. So the Messenger of Allah said, go bring him to me. They brought Ali ibn Abi Talib, and he was, like they described, he was being carried between two men. He couldn't walk. When they brought him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah spit in his eyes, and then he was able to see again as if he was never sick. And then the Messenger of Allah told him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, go forth and fight in the cause of Allah. And then when he went out as the commander of this particular army, Allah Ta'ala gave him the tawfiq or the success, and he was able to conquer the disbelievers of Khaybar at that particular time. So therefore we understand from all of this, ikhwan, that making jihad in the cause of Allah Ta'ala is something that will cause a person to become beloved to Allah. And he will also be in a position to love Allah if he makes the correct jihad. The two jihads that we mentioned, the jihad of the saif and the sinan, the jihad of using the iron, and the jihad of the kalima and the bayan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love him because what? Because this individual, he is taking it upon himself to make the ultimate sacrifice, which is giving his life. And he's doing what? He's raising the banner of Al-Islam with his jihad. And he's raising the kalima of Al-Islam with the jihad. And he's defending the Muslims and Islam from the fitna, as Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, so that there will not be any fitna in the earth.
وهذا الموضوع طويل وطويل جدا فنختصر أيها الإخوة لأن الوقت لا يسعفنا لأن نطيل أكثر من ذلك. ومن صفات أحباب الله أنهم يتوبون من ذنوبهم ويطهرون أبدانهم، أنهم يطهرون ظاهرهم وباطنهم، كما قال الله عز وجل إن الله يحب التوابين ويحب المتطهرين. فالطهارة طهارتان، طهارة الظاهر وطهارة الباطن. طهارة الظاهر برفع الحدث الأكبر والأصغر، ولذلك قال عليه الصلاة والسلام ولا يحافظ على الوضوء إلا مؤمن. فالوضوء سلاح المؤمن. وطهارة الباطن من الشرك والمعاصي والذنوب والبدع والخرافات وكل ما يسخط الله عز وجل. ولذلك إذا توضأ المسلم فإذا انتهى من وضوءه يقول يشهد، يقول أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله، اللهم اجعلني من التوابين واجعلني من المتطهرين. هذا من الأذكار المسنونة التي يقولها المسلم بعد وضوئه، يجمع بهذا الذكر وبذاك الفعل من الوضوء والطهارة بين طهارة البدن وطهارة الروح إذ بهاتين الطهارتين تنال محبة الله عز وجل. فمن طهر نفسه من الأدناس والأرجاس قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها، ومن طهر بدنه من الأحداث والنجاسات فإنه في محل محبة الله عز وجل، وهو قريب من الله وهو حبيب لله عز وجل. كذلك من الأمور التي تنال بها محبة الله اجتناب ما حرم الله وفعل ما أمر الله، يعني فعل الواجبات وترك المحرمات، ثم زيادة على ذلك الإكثار من النوافل. وهذا ما أشار إليه ربنا عز وجل في الحديث القدسي حيث قال: ولا يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل حتى أحبه، فإذا أحببته كنت سمعه الذي يسمع بي به وبصره الذي يبصر به ويده التي يبطش بها ورجله التي يمشي بها، ولئن سألني لأعطينه ولئن استعاذ بي لأعيذنه. والشاهد هنا قوله حتى أحبه، فإذا فعل ما أمر الله واجتناب ما حرم الله وزيادة النوافل، تقرب إلى الله بالنوافل من أسباب نيل محبة الله. فإذا أصبحت من أحباب الله، كنت من أولياء الله، كنت مستجاب الدعاء، يستجيب الله دعاءك، يقضي حاجاتك، يفرج كرباتك ويغفر ذنبك ويعطيك سؤلك، كنت وتصبح ربانية وتعطى قدرات خارقة. إذا رميت بقوة الله، وإذا نظرت بقوة الله، وإذا بطشت بقوة الله. ففي رواية أخرى يقول: فبي يسمع وبي يبصر وبي يبطش وبي يمشي، كما قال الله عز وجل: وما رميت إذ رميت ولكن الله رمى. فوكزه موسى فقضى عليه. تعطى قدرات، احفظ الله يحفظك، لأنك إذا حفظت جوارحك، إذا حفظت جوارحك في طاعة الله، فإن الله يحفظ عليك هذه الجوارح وهذه الآلات، ويعطيك قدرات وقوة خارقة. ولذلك المؤمن القوي خير وأحب إلى الله تعالى من المؤمن الضعيف في كل خير. أيضا من أسباب محبة الله كثرة القراءة كثرة قراءة القرآن، الإكثار من قراءة القرآن، لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من سره أن يحبه الله فليقرأ في المصحف. إذن التقرب إلى الله بتلاوة كلامه سبب لنيل محبة الله. كذلك وأخيرا أيها الإخوة، زيارة الإخوان في الله، لأن زيارة الإخوة في الله سبب لنيل محبة الله. قال الله تعالى في الحديث القدسي: أين المتحابون في، أين المتزاورون في، أين المتباذلون في، اليوم أظلهم في ظلي يوم لا ظل إلا ظلي. وفي الحديث أن رجلا زار أخا له في الله فأرسل الله على مدرجته، يعني على طريقه، ملكا على هيئة رجل، فسلم عليه فرد عليه السلام، فقال له: أين تعمد يا أخي؟ قال: أزور أخا لي في الله. قال: هل لك من نعمة ترب عليه؟ قال: لا، إنما حبا في الله. قال: فإني رسول الله إليك، إن الله يقرئك السلام ويقول لك بأنه قد أحبك كما أحببته فيه، لأنه زاره لله لا لحاجة ولا لدنيا ولا لشفاعة، إنما لله وفي الله. فكانت هذه الزيارة سببا لنيل محبة الله، أحبه الله لأنه أحب أخاف الله. فأنتم اجتمعتم إن شاء الله في هذا المكان على محبة الله، فنوا هذه النية أنكم اجتمعتم على محبة الله لتنالوا بذلك حب الله. قال الله تعالى: الأخلاء يومئذ بعضهم لبعض عدو إلا المتقين. وذكر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث السبعة الذين يظلهم الله في ظله: ورجلان تحابا في الله اجتمع عليه وتفرق عليه. أسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعلني وإياكم من أحباب الله، وأن يوفقني وإياكم للأخذ بالأسباب التي تنال بها محبة الله، إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وآله وسلم.
And the brothers who know Arabic, can you please just hold on, because there's a disruption when you start getting up, walking out, for the other brothers, inshallah. The Sheikh said, we're going to finish this subject matter right now, because in actuality, the subject is quite long. And we're going to summarize it, because the time does not allow for us to mention all of the things that we want to mention. So we're going to finish with these last few points. If a person wants to obtain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he should be a person who is keen on making tawbah, or seeking the forgiveness for his sins. And also in addition to that, purifying himself, having a tahara of his body. And when I talk about the tahara of the body, I'm talking about the tahara, or the purification that is apparent, and the purification which is hidden. Did you not hear and read the ayat of the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described himself, and he said, verily Allah loves those who make tawbah, and he loves those who purify themselves. So if a person wants to become the ahbab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then let him hold on to this issue of making tawbah and being keen to be a person who has tahara, the two types of tahara, the purification which is apparent and the purification which is hidden. Verily Allah loves those who make tawbah, they repent to Allah, and they purify themselves. The Shaykh went on to say, in explaining this tahara, or this purification, the tahara that is apparent, that is the tahara that a person purifies himself from the hadith al-asghar and the hadith al-akbar. He purifies himself by making the wudu and the ghusl that's necessary to prepare himself. He cleans himself. That is the purification that is the apparent, the outer purification, from the hadith al-asghar and the hadith al-akbar. Allah's Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in showing the importance of this, he said, there is no one who will take care of being upon the wudu except the believer. There is no one who will take care of being mutawaddi, having wudu, except the believer. He's the one who's going to pay attention to that. In another hadith, he said that the wudu is the weapon of the believer. And now, as it relates to the purification which is inner, the inner purification that Allah loves those people who purify themselves, we told you already the outer purification. Now what is the inner purification? The inner purification is the purification from shirk and ma'asi, disobedience to Allah Ta'ala, and dhunub, or sin, and bid'ah, innovation, and khurafat. The Shaykh went on to say, Ikhwan, listen, if a person was to follow the sunnah as it relates to this issue, and he was to make wudu, after making the wudu, he bears witness to the wahdaniya of Allah Ta'ala, to the oneness of Allah. He makes wudu, and then he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and then he bears the witness of Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. And then after that, he makes the dua, oh Allah, make me from those people who are repentant, and make me from those people who purify themselves. The Shaykh said, in this is some wisdom, that the person in this particular action, he combines this. He combines the action of at-tahara, which is outer, which is the zahir, with the tahara which is inner, and that is the tahara of the spirit, of being far from shirk. So you do the tahara of your body and the tahara of your ruh, or your spirit.
This is one of the easy ways or main ways that a person can obtain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person was to do this and he was to purify himself, he would be successful, as Allah ta'ala said in the Quran in Surah Ash-Shams, verily he will be successful, the one who purifies his soul, and verily he will be khaba, he will be destroyed, the one who makes it dirty. So he will be of those people who are successful. Another thing that you can do in order to obtain the love of Allah Azza wa Jal is to stay away from what Allah Ta'ala has made haram, and to do what Allah Ta'ala has made halal, has ordered you to do. So therefore, it's what? Tarkul muharramat. Staying away from what is haram and doing what he ordered you to do. And I want to add unto that, and also in addition to that, make the ikthar or increase your doing of the nawafil. All of that goes together. Leave alone what Allah made haram, do what Allah commanded you to do, and increase your doing of the nawafil deed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam said that Allah Ta'ala said in the Hadith al-Qudsi, the servant will not cease getting close to me or making the taqarrub to me except by that which I made obligatory upon him and by the nawafil deeds that he does, until I become the hearing by which he hears, and I become the seeing by which he sees, and I become the hand by which he strikes, and I become the foot by which he walks. And if he asks of me, I will give to him, and if he seeks my assistance, I would assist him. And then the Shaykh stopped at this point of the hadith and he said, the intent or the shahid, the point from this hadith is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this hadith when he said, until I love my servant. In the hadith, Allah Ta'ala said that the servant will not cease to come close to me by doing what I made wajib and by doing the nawafil until I love him. And I become the hearing by which he hears, and the seeing by which he sees, and the hand by which he strikes, and the foot by which he walks. And if he asks of me, I'm going to give to him. And if he seeks my assistance, I'm going to give him the assistance. The Shaykh went on to say, so this clearly shows us that a person can get the love of Allah Ta'ala as a result of doing what is obligatory upon him, staying away from what's haram, and increasing the nawafil. So if a person, and this is his case, if you become one of these people, you become like the awliya of Allah Ta'ala, and it's possible for everyone to be this person. And if you're blessed to be this person, based upon this hadith that we just said, when you make dua to Allah, Allah is going to answer your dua for what you want. When you seek the forgiveness of Allah, Allah Ta'ala is going to forgive you. When you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide for you your sustenance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you. And you're going to become of the people who are the Rabbani. You're going to have this thing. And also in addition to that, based upon this ayah, you will have miraculous power. You are open to acquire miraculous power. To the point, if you throw something, Allah Ta'ala will help you. If you hit something, Allah will be behind you and strengthening you. The hadith said, he becomes the hearing by which you hear, and he'll become the seeing by which you see. So you hear and you see the affairs on a way that other people don't do. And that's the meaning of the ayat of the Quran, when Allah Ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, verily you didn't throw when you threw, but Allah threw. And that took place in one of the wars that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam participated with. Look at this. Allah Ta'ala said about Musa, and Musa hit him and caused him to die. He killed him. Allah Ta'ala gave him that strength because Musa was from the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala said, احفظ الله يحفظك. The hadith says, remember Allah and Allah will remember you. The Shaykh took from this point to further add on to the proofs of having these miraculous powers. He said that the Prophet said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, remember Allah
and Allah will remember you. He said, if a person remembered Allah Ta'ala as it relates to his limbs, and he did what was right as it relates to his limbs, Allah Ta'ala will support those limbs with miraculous abilities if he chooses to do so. And that's why the hadith told us what? The mu'min who is strong is better and more beloved to Allah than the mu'min who is weak, and in both of them there is some good. Also, ikhwan, another thing that you can do in order to obtain the love of Allah Ta'ala is to increase your reading of the Quran. For everyone to increase his recitation of the book of Allah. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, in an authentic hadith, whoever is pleased to have Allah love him, then let him read the Quran from the Mus'haf. Whoever is pleased to have Allah love him, then let him read the Quran from the Mus'haf. The Shaykh said, the last thing that I want to mention is from what we can do in order to obtain the love of Allah Azza wa Jal, is that we can visit each other for Allah Ta'ala's cause. That the brothers take the time out to visit each other. He said, in the authentic hadith, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, in this hadith al-Qudsi, where are the people who love each other for my cause? And where are the people who visit each other for my cause? And where are the people who assist each other for my sake? For verily, I will love them today, and I will shade them in my shade on this day when there is no other shade. So visitation will also ensure, bi-idhnillah, that someone can obtain and secure the love of Allah. Where are those who love each other for my sake? And where are those who visit each other for my sake? And where are those who help each other for my sake? For verily I love them. And on this day, I will shade them in my shade, and there will be no other shade except my shade. And then the other hadith that mentioned the man who went to visit his brother for Allah's sake. And then when he set out upon his journey, the angel came in his footsteps. And the angel came to him and he asked him, after giving him salam, where you going? He said, I'm going to visit a brother of mine. The angel said, are you going to visit him because of some ni'mah that he has? There's something that he has that you want? He said, no, I'm going to visit him for Allah's cause, because I love him. The angel said, then I am the messenger of Allah to you, and I'm here to tell you that Allah loves you because you love him, and Allah gives you the salam. Allah yuqri'uka the salam. He's saying salamu alaykum to you. He gives you the salam. So ikhwan, clearly in this hadith, we don't need any more elaboration. It's clear, and this is what we have been able to be successful in presenting today. So you brothers, as you are here now, you need to take advantage of this opportunity to try to struggle to be of those people who are from those who Allah Ta'ala loves. By utilizing your relationships with each other, the brotherhood and the friendship, as Allah Ta'ala said, showing us that this friendship will come and it will benefit the people Yawm al-Qiyamah. And it's the friendship of Islam, in which Allah Ta'ala described the akhla, those people who are friends, the khalils to one another. He said that the friends will be enemies one to another Yawm al-Qiyamah, except the people who have taqwa. Yawm al-Qiyamah, everyone who had a friend, that friend will be his enemy Yawm al-Qiyamah, with the exception of the people who have taqwa, meaning the believers. So let us take advantage of this, and let us remember the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he talked about the seven people who will be in Allah's shade Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the day where there will be no other shade except the shade of Allah. And he mentioned the two men who love each other for Allah's cause. They came together on that love, and they departed on that love. And then the Shaykh made some dua for us, and we ask Allah Ta'ala by his greatest name, that name that if he's supplicated by it, he answers that dua, that he gives us some understanding of this particular darus that the Shaykh put forth so that we can practice it. And we ask him to put it in the scales of the good deeds of the Shaykh Yawm Qiyamah. Hatha wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in.
أحسنت يا شيخ وبارك الله فيك.